We'll get started in a couple minutes here. Is this on? Okay. Hey, Dwayne, if you want to close the doors. Hi, Janice. Hey, good morning. Thank you. Welcome to Sunday School, and the topic will be the body praise. My name is Kirk Harmon. I'm an elder with Redeemer and also involved in the prayer ministry on Wednesday night. And I've prepared an agenda for today's talk. And I'd like to first start off by praying for our time together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the amazing gift of prayer. And we pray that this time would be a time that we are encouraged and we learn more about prayer. We thank you for how you work in prayer, for the things that we understand, for the things that we don't. But we know that you are a perfect, loving, and wise God. And Father, we pray this all in the power of our loving Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay, so today we're going to be talking about prayer, the body prays, and we're going to be defining prayer. We're going to be talking about the paradox of prayer, which is something you may not have thought about before, and why should we pray, how shall we pray, different types of prayer, quotations on prayer, and the outcome of prayer, and then if we have time, we'll take some questions. And when we think about prayer, so there's going to be a couple times where I'm going to be asking for feedback, and if you don't feel like it, I know a lot of people don't like to talk in a group of people, that's okay. I'll just call on Dwayne. No, just joking. But I think it's helpful to hear other believers' insights in prayer. So starting off by talking about defining prayer, are there any thoughts in regards to how do we define prayer? What do we think about when we think about prayer? And I'll share one. One of the things that comes to mind right away is that it's a petition. It's a petition to God, and that's biblical. It says, ask and you shall receive, and seek and you shall find. Any other insights in regards to what we think about, Sue? Community with God? Yeah. Oh, communion with God. Yes, absolutely. Communion with God. Absolutely. Anything else? Yes. I'm sorry, I didn't get the first part. Yes, yes. Praising God for what He has done. Yes. Anything else? Okay. So I put together a little bit of a slide that highlights just a few areas. This is definitely not all-encompassing. But the one thing I wanted to share, I want to share a couple insights in regards to this slide. Number one, God is big. Okay, so when we're praying, the perspective that He is the creator, we are the creature. And worship and praise, which was actually said just earlier, having a state of thanksgiving for what He's done for us, also can be a time of confession. One of the main points, I think, when we think about prayer is a focus on God, not a focus on self. I love the verse in Colossians, don't be weary in prayer, keep at it, watch for God's answers, and remember to be thankful when they come. Scripture talks a lot about prayer. In fact, prayer is referenced. There are 650 prayers in the Bible, 450 recorded answers to prayer. So it's important that we learn about it. It's important that we practice it. And I want to let you know, too, I know in previous Sunday school sessions they've done handouts, and if anybody's interested in having this deck, I'd be more than happy to email it to you or print it out. One thing I wanted to share with you, too, is that I read a quote that said, the determining factor in my relationship with Christ is not my past or my present, but Christ's past and Christ's present. And that's important to remember, because a lot of times we can beat ourselves up over our past. But we always need to remember that it's Christ interceding on behalf of us. Okay. The next slide, what I did was I actually, one of my favorite authors is Oswald Chambers. I don't know if you've heard his name before. He wrote the book, My Utmost for His Highest, pretty famous devotional. And he had several comments on prayer, and I'm just going to read them. The purpose of prayer is to reveal the presence of God equally present all the time in every condition. The essential meaning of prayer is that it nourishes the life of the Son of God in me and enables him to manifest himself in my mortal flesh. The prayer of the saints is never self-important, but always God-important. And we have to pray with our eyes on God, not on the difficulties. And the greatest way for others, or I'm sorry, the greatest way for us to love others, one of the greatest ways, is to pray for them. And there is a paradox of prayer. And it's very easy to do, but it's very difficult to do. And I think this was, for me, this was a good exercise because it helped me realize how wonderful a gift that we have. If we think about how easy is it to do, okay? You don't have to be a certain age, like 21, to drink a beer. You don't have to be a certain age to vote. I mean, you do have to be a certain age to vote. But you can be anywhere from age 3 to 103 and pray. You can be praying in the morning before you go to work. You can be praying at work. You can pray after work. You can pray in another country. You can pray inside your house. I mean, it really is limitless in regards to how we can pray. And one of the things I thought about is that if God changed that, and I think it's something that we should think about once in a while, and if he said, I only give you 15 minutes per day and 15 minutes in regards to location, would we probably be a little bit more serious about praying? I know I would, because I'd say, I'm going to make sure I'm going to take advantage of that time. But because it's a gift that we can pray anywhere, anytime, any place, we kind of take it for granted. Now, let me back up a little bit. It is very difficult to do. I mean, there's several reasons why it's difficult to do. I'm going to give you guys another opportunity to share if you'd like. But can anybody share in regards to why prayer is difficult? Because if it wasn't difficult, you'd see people praying all the time. Yes, Dick.
Satan doesn't want us to do it.
Yep. Amen. Yes. Yep. Anybody else? Yes. What's that? Yes, that's in certain parts of the world you can't do it openly, right? Yes. I'm sorry, Sue. What's that? Oh, yeah, he said in certain parts of the world we can't pray openly. They cannot pray openly, like Iran or North Korea. Dick, what did you say again? Yeah, Satan tries to stop us. Yeah. Scotty?
We are sinners.
We are sinners.
We are prideful.
Amen. Amen. Yes. Yes. Very true. Anything else? Jess and Howard? Guilt? Yep. Experiencing the moment? Yep. Yep. That's right. We're busy people, aren't we? Yep. Okay. Anything else? That's true. It's too easy when things are going our way to pray. Very true. Okay, so I put down a couple items here. We're part of a culture that idolizes entertainment and accomplishment. You know, growing up playing baseball or basketball, the thrill of making that three-point shot or hitting a home run, I mean, that really serves the flesh. There's nothing wrong with it, but we are, as sinful people, we are drawn to those type of things. We're not drawn to, you know, be necessarily spending this quiet time in prayer. And we have a culture of entertainment where it's, you know, go out to a movie and enjoy a movie, or, you know, it's very difficult to pray because of a lot of these distractions. It takes work. It's a struggle. This is also referenced in Scripture in Colossians 4:12. Paul states this, Epaphras greets you, always struggling on your behalf in his prayers. We get discouraged easily. I think someone may have mentioned that. We may not see the answers. And then I think Scotty mentioned our inherent nature opposes God. For the mind that is set in the flesh is hostile to God. Okay, so why should we pray? Scripture says a lot about this. God commands it. Matthew 6:5, and when you pray, he doesn't say if. This is the same chapter that he gives us the Lord's Prayer. And Jesus was recorded praying 25 times in the gospel. Paul mentioned prayer 41 times. And this is the Ephesians. This is when he talks about the armor of God and praying the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. And then Philippians, a famous verse from Philippians 4 through 6, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving present your requests to God. And then Colossians, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. When people look at this verse, a lot of times they look at the watchful and thankful part. But if you look at, I looked up the word devote, and I think it's something that we should think about. The word devote means give all or a large part of one's time or resources to. So I think it's very important to acknowledge that. Another reason to pray is that God has ordained prayer as a way that we communicate with Him. 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin. And then also Hebrews 14:16, let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence. In addition, we have our Savior's example, Matthew 14:23, went on a mountainside by himself to pray. And Mark, very early in the morning, when it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house and went to a solitary place where he prayed. I think the one thing to, there's several things to take away from these verses, but one of the things to take away is that, you know, he got away from the busyness of the present moment, okay? He was always, crowds were following him, and in order to pray to his Father, he got up and got away from that and went to a solitary place and prayed. Another example of when he went and spent the night praying to God in Luke, and then the importance of not giving up in Luke 18:1. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. Okay, so we do have a role model, our Savior, for prayer. He actually, in Matthew 6, one of his Disciples asked, Lord, teach us to pray. And he gave the example of the Lord's Prayer. I'm just going to touch on a few things in regards to this prayer, because a lot of us have heard this over time in regards to kind of an explanation of it. But our Father in heaven, this is one of the first times that Jesus addresses God as our Father. And I think it's very unique in this way because it makes him personal. This is not a deity that's far away that we cannot communicate with. So I think when we pray, it's good to think about we're praying to a personal God. In addition, hallowed be your name. Hallow is a word of reverence. And one of the things as I was preparing for this message and this talk is that I really got convicted in regards to my prayer life. Is that a lot of times I would go to prayer and not praise him first. And it's amazing how your heart gets softened when you praise him. And I think it really is a preparation for prayer. And I really got convicted of that on Monday, in fact, when I was studying different aspects of prayer. And then, your will be done. This is one area where I think a lot of people struggle because we have our own selfish needs, and a lot of times we look at prayer as a way to get things from God. But if we look at things as in terms of a relationship to God and praising him for who he is, and then your will be done, which means we're going to obey him regardless of the circumstances. We're going to trust him regardless of the circumstances. It's not going to be about me getting my way, and then if he doesn't give me what I want, then I'm done with God. And, you know, unfortunately, you know, I've been there. I've done that. And this can be very convicting. And then the interesting thing, when the Lord's Prayer finishes up, then we finally get to the petitions. Okay, then you have four petitions. You know, give us this day our daily bread, forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. So actually the three petitions at the end. So I think it's very wise to think about the order of the Lord's Prayer and just to remember who we are praying to. This is a God, creator of the universe. Start with adoration and remember thy will. Okay. So when we talk about remembering to whom we are praying to, there's a lot of scripture that describes God. These are just a few items. You know, we mentioned the creator of the universe, the God that parted the Red Sea, God of wisdom. In Psalms, it talks about God. God's understanding has no limits. This is a holy and just God, unchanging. Then the verse from Revelation, and all the churches will know that I am he who searches mind and heart. So remember to whom we are praying. Another couple ideas in regards to how shall we pray. Using Scripture can be very helpful. I mean, this is God's Word that he gave us. And in Ephesians, it says, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your heart enlightened, that you may know what is the hope by which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe according to the working of his great might. And God knows your heart. I think this is an important point, is that, you know, we need to prepare our hearts when we go to him in prayer. Deuteronomy 10:12 says, and now Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, to love him, serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. So using Scripture and praying with a heart that is right with the Lord is very important. With humility. And in James, there's a couple verses in regards to humility. 4:6, it says, God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. There's another verse in James that says, humble yourself and I will lift you up. I will make your life significant. And then there's a quote from Charles Spurgeon that I just love, I had to put up here. See then, poor weeping and distracted ones, that it is not ritualism, It is not the performance of pompous ceremonies. It is not bowing and struggling. It is not using sacred words, but it is crying to God in the hour of trouble that is the most acceptable sacrifice your spirit can bring before the throne of God. As we speak about calling out to God, that's another good way to pray. And there's verses all over Psalms. These are just a couple. Call upon me in the day of trouble, and I shall deliver thee and glorify thee. And then Psalm 18:6, in my distress I called out upon the Lord. To my God I cried for help. From his temple he heard my voice, and my cry to him reached his ears. Persistence. Jesus talked a lot about persistence. There's several parables around persistence. Here's just a couple, Luke 11:5 through 10, and then Luke 18:1 through 8, which actually talks about the widow, and she kept coming to the judge and give me legal protection for my opponent. For a while he was unwilling, but afterward he said to himself, even though I do not fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow bothers me, I will give her legal protection. Otherwise, by continually coming, she will wear me out. And the Lord said, hear what the unrighteous judge said now. Will not God bring about justice for his elect who cry out to him day and night? And will he delay long over them? Good lessons in regards to persistence. And there's different types of prayers that we can pray. And a lot of people have heard the word, the acronyms ACTS, which stands for Adoration, Confession, Thanksgiving, and Supplication. And I just highlight these briefly. So the Adoration is one of praise, one of, you know, preparing our heart. And there's a lot of verses in Psalms that start out with praise. 148 is really a praise psalm. And I just put a couple of verses here. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise him all his angels. Praise him all his hosts. And then the prayer of confession. If we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. And what I added here was an assurance of pardon, because I think it's important to, you know, after we confess, recognize that we have a mediator, Jesus Christ, that assures us of our forgiveness. And that comes in the verse of 1 John 2:1-3. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteousness. He is a propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And there's many prayers of thanksgiving. This is one from Philippians 4:6, which I referenced earlier. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. In prayer of supplication, or supplication is another word for requests, from 1 Timothy 2:1. First of all, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all people, for kings and all who are in high positions, that may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. And that just highlights the adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. Now, there's a lot of other prayers, and I'm not going to go into depths on these. These are just listing four other ones. But there are there's just a list of other prayers that are referenced in Scripture that if you desire to go and look up, you can definitely look up. But these are just a few that are referenced of intercession, contemplation, faith, and consecration. Okay, the outcome of prayer. When we see an answer, it really encourages us. It encourages us in our faith, also increases our faith, and it's also a testimony. I love hearing when other people say that they've had prayers answered, and it encourages me. In fact, a friend of mine, a neighbor of mine, got a job after being off for probably 4 or 5 years, and it was certainly a God thing. I mean, it was the way the whole thing worked, and it was such a great testimony that he shared in regards to how the Lord worked that out. So there are times when we don't see an answer, Many times when we don't see an answer. And that creates perseverance, which also creates character. And it can provide a testimony, because as it says, don't grow weary in prayer. And we need to remember that, but it, you know, can provide a testimony to others that, you know, keep praying, keep at it, don't give up. And then I'm just going to wrap up the presentation by reading some quotations on prayer. And these were some of my favorite quotations that I came across as I was studying prayer. E.M. Bounds said, "Prayer should not be regarded as a duty which must be performed, but rather as a privilege to be enjoyed, a rare delight that is always revealing some new beauty." E.M. Bounds. Prayer does not fit us for the greater work. Prayer is the greater work. And then Leonard Ravenhill, "Quit playing, start praying. Quit feasting, start fasting. Talk less with men, talk more with God. Listen less to men, listen to the words of God. Skip travel, start travel." And travel is an old word we really don't use anymore, but it really means labor. And I think what he's talking about there is laboring for God. And then Ian Bounds again, "Our praying, however, needs to be pressed and pursued with an energy that never tires, a persistency which will not be denied, and a courage that never fails." And Jonathan Edwards, which is one of my favorite verses, or one of my favorite sayings, "There is no way that Christians in a private capacity can do so much to promote the work of God and advance the kingdom of Christ as by prayer." I think that's an amen. Okay, so that wraps up my talk. I know we got done a little early. Any questions at all in regards to prayer? Dick?
Could you back up to the slide about answering prayer?
Sure. Yep.
So, there are different ways you can look at this. One way that I find helpful instead of...
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. With my understanding of communion with God.
Sure.
And so sometimes seeing an answer that is not what I hoped for still produces those results.
Uh-huh.
But it doesn't mean God is silent.
Yes.
That's a little twist on that.
Sure.
Son was in high school. He wanted to be part of an elite crushing group.
Mm-hmm.
And he was just moved to this area, and he was trying out for it. And said, "Well, we will pray that you get a high seat in that high chair." And he said to us, "Oh, no, pray that I'll be satisfied with the seat I get."
Oh, there's wisdom.
Which, you know, the different
yeah.
ways.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, sometimes we just don't ask for the right thing either.
Right, right. Yeah, no, that's a good point. That's a wise son that you... Yeah. Any other questions or insights in regards to prayer? This is a quiet group. Yes, Janet?
In your graphic with the circle,
yeah.
I really like that you had listed
mm-hmm.
there.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I do follow Acts a lot, and, mm-hmm. but I never
mm-hmm.
to God.
Yep.
And I know He speaks to us.
Well, I think it's a great question, first of all. And one of the things I thought about when I was going through some of this material is that when we think about prayer, think about it in terms of a relationship, okay? And whether it's a family member, a spouse, a best friend. And if you were always talking to that person and asking for them, asking things from them, how would you feel about that? I mean, after a while, I'd say, you know what? I don't like spending time with you. Okay, now fortunately, God doesn't say that. God always loves to spend time with us. But if we look at that part of the relationship, okay, you know, God wants it to go both ways, and you know, Scripture tells us, you know, how many different ways that we should pray. But how are we going to hear God unless we listen to Him? You know, I mean, I don't think, you know, and going back to your suggestion, you know, do I have any ideas in regards to how we could do that better? I think one of the things I read, which I thought there was a lot of wisdom in, was, you know, starting small, okay? Maybe 5 minutes a day until you develop a pattern. Okay, I mean, maybe you're praying 15 minutes a day, maybe you're praying 15 minutes a week, I don't know. But, you know, start small and then build upon that. And, you know, if you want to focus in your prayer life in regards to listening to God, the first thing I would start off with is you know, adoration in regards to listening to prayer. I had Monday, this week was a tremendous blessing to me because I had the opportunity to really study prayer like I've never studied it before. And prayer is a mystery, right, in many ways? I mean, it really is a mystery. We can't define it black and white. It's you know, it's a bunch of colors there too. But I would just encourage you to start small, listening to God, and then ask Him to help you in that process. Yeah, Scotty.
Mm-hmm. The first dynamic being that when Scripture says the Spirit testifies to my spirit, Christ is Lord, there is a testimony. The Holy Spirit speaks to our spirit, confirming the things that are. Mm-hmm. That's one aspect. But that our spirits do need to be informed with the Word of God, not our own thinking.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And therefore, meditation. Mm-hmm. Of listening, meditating on God,
right.
That Word of God soak into our thoughts, our thinking, allowing the Spirit to rightly think about the Word of God, because that's what God is saying to us.
Yes.
There's no audible voice that we're listening to, but it's listening to God with the help of God.
Right. Yeah, for those that didn't hear that, Scotty was mentioning in regards to the power of God's Word when we are, you know, praying and listening to God and preparing our hearts, is we really need to know God's Word and we need to be in God's Word and meditating upon it. Yes, yeah, Skip. Yeah. Amen. Amen.
Scotty's point, Lord, you search me. You know me.
Yes.
There's no place you can I can go and hide from you.
Yep.
You made me. Beginning of that psalm, it's and at the end he's
Well, that's thank you, Lord, is right. That's an honest prayer. Yeah, that's a very honest prayer, and that's exactly what the Lord wants. He wants us to be, He knows our hearts. We can't deceive Him. He knows our hearts. One of the things, I listened to a message from Tim Keller on prayer, and he had stated that we cannot know ourselves without prayer, and because what prayer does is it helps realize who God is, and without prayer, we're not, you know, we're going to think that you know, we're pretty special. And in God's eyes, we are. I'm not. That's probably not the best way of saying that. But he used an example of a businessman that you know, landed a business deal that made him extremely wealthy. And the businessman said, that was the worst thing that ever happened to me, because I, after that fact, I always thought that I had the gifts and the talents, and I never realized that it was a blessing from God. And when we pray, you know, it helps us realize who God is, and also helps us realize who we are, and it changes us. I'm convinced of that. Hmm. Yes. I'll repeat what Jan said is, you know, prayer is very difficult. Okay, we can all acknowledge that. And she said one of the ways that when John Curry was here, one of the ways he talked about is that open your Bible before you pray. So get into God's Word before you pray. And then I know you said a few, several other things, but oh yeah, estranged from someone. Prayer heals your heart, absolutely. And you know, I have a personal testimony. My mom passed away a year ago from this May, and I know a lot of people in prayer ministry know that was a very challenging time for me. In fact, the last 2 years, it was very challenging. And so we had a few conflicts, and I prayed probably a month before she passed away. I went to prayer, and I said, Lord, if there's, and I wasn't praying about my relationship with my mom, but I just said, if there's anything I have that is outstanding against anyone, please reveal it to me. And right away, I mean instantaneously, my mom and a neighbor. And, you know, I was, that day, in fact, I called the neighbor and I said, let's get together, and we did. And I just said, you know, if there's any way I offended you, I ask for forgiveness. And he appreciated that. And in that situation, there wasn't anything with my neighbor. Okay, he didn't say that there was anything. But when I talked to my mom, the next time I was there, there was something, and it was, sorry, gets me a little emotional, sorry. But, you know, the Lord healed it, and I'm so glad. Sorry. I'm so glad that I asked for that confession before she passed. Yeah, Jonathan. Yes. Right.
But it is a little voice. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And that voice can be.
Mm-hmm.
And even like
Mm-hmm.
It's on your conscience.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's an issue.
Mm-hmm.
Not really Jiminy Cricket necessarily.
Right.
You know, having the biblically informed conscience, meditation that Scotty was talking about, strengthening of a conscience sensitive to the spirit of God.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
yeah, absolutely.
And so you took action because you said, this is something I got to do.
Mm-hmm.
The Spirit of God impressed it upon your conscience,
mm-hmm.
right? And you took action.
Mm-hmm.
So I think acknowledging the biblical way God created in us.
Mm-hmm.
Because as long as we don't think it's His inherent voice audibly to our souls.
Right. Yeah, Steve. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Is for His benefit. Continue to be big.
Mm-hmm.
So that we are continuing.
Mm-hmm.
It is certainly.
Yeah.
I think there's opportunity. God, that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
That's wonderful.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what Steve, for the people over here that may not have heard that, what Steve had mentioned is when we're in God's Word and we're studying and meditating upon God's Word, is that we're being conformed to His image. So, anything else that you'd like to share? Yeah, Tom. Yeah. Do you think it's more difficult to not hear an answer than hear an answer of no?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so too. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. Or wait. Yeah. Yeah, what Jan said is there are really three different ways to answer our prayers. It's either yes, no, or wait. Yeah, very good point. Anything else? Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Won't have conversation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We have to take time.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
We'll be there.
Yeah.
Plan on it.
Mm-hmm.
Give it more.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
Basically,
Yeah, yeah. What Jess was saying was that we need to have discipline, no question about it, in regards to prayer and devotionals. And, you know, it is a struggle because we're in a world where we get so distracted so easily. And you know, what is more appealing? I mean, if you pray for 30 minutes and, you know, you don't hear God's voice, you know, you're thinking, oh, do I want to go back and, you know, or do I want to do something? I've got so many other things to do, right? Amen, yeah. Yeah, it's an amazing, I mean, he's given us, like, Steve. Amen. The highlight of my week, and you know, if you said that 12 years ago that, you know, you'd be involved in a prayer ministry, I would say, I don't think so. And it's amazing how God works. And, you know, prayer doesn't sound exciting or it doesn't sound, I mean, because it's a struggle, but it is... It really is. That prayer meeting on Wednesday night evening is a highlight of my week. I look forward to it every week. And God is so amazing the way he always shows up every single time. Yeah. Yes, Sue. Oh, good. Yes. Yes. Absolutely. Yes. Yeah. Anything else? Okay. Well, let me close in prayer, and then we can dismiss you. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this incredible gift that you've given us. Father, we pray for your help too, because we acknowledge that we are weak, fleshly people. And apart from your grace and your power, we cannot do any good. So, Father, we pray that you'd help us become greater prayer warriors, help us to become greater meditators upon the Word, which you've given us, which is another incredible gift. And most importantly, Father, help us to our lives to glorify you, to point all the glory to you. And we pray this in the glorious name of our Savior and King, Jesus Christ. Amen.